Don't you just love that theme song? Well, I do. My name is Kim Zhe, and welcome to In Practopia. Today we have a great show for you. We have a wonderful guest hailing from Barbados, Penny Bowen, who is the director for fundraising down at the Foundation for the Development of Caribbean Children. And we also have today our first giveaway and a new aspect to the show where I will end with a quote. And we will also share some tips with you, things that I call reminders about the Caribbean. But before we get going, I'd like to tell you, if you like what you hear on In Practopia, and I certainly hope you do, that you go to our website at www.inpractopia.com, leave a comment, and we will feature it on our website. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to be able to say thank you in that way. So, let's get the show on the road. Here are three things you should know about the Caribbean. 1. Our climate. The Caribbean has two seasons. The dry season from December to May, where it is usually very hot and breezy, and it's also the height of our tourist season. And we also have the wet season from June to November, which is also known as the hurricane season, where there are lots of storms. It's very rainy, very wet. And with all of this climate change, remember what happened in Haiti, who knows what nature and the environment has in store for us. 2, our food. I don't know about you, but I think Caribbean cooking, Caribbean food is the best in the world. And we need to take credit because of our African, European, East Indian, and even to a certain extent, our Asian influence. When you think about all of that color, the flavor, the different techniques in cooking, oh my God, the fruits and vegetables, wonderful stuff. Every island has its own national dish, but that's for another show. 3. The region was totally discovered by accident. In 1492, to be exact, when Christopher Columbus landed in what was eventually called the West Indies. And now we have a mesh of ethnicities, dialects, culture, history, all of which is very much celebrated in the region today. These were just three reminders, things that you should know about the Caribbean. And now my very delightful chat with Penny Bowen, Fundraising and Campaign Development Officer at the Foundation for the Development of Caribbean Children. Penny, I want us to start off with you giving us a brief history of how the Foundation for the Development of Caribbean Children came to be.
Okay, well, thanks, Kim, very much for having us. FDCC was actually launched towards the end of 2011 into 2012. And the need came about as the work that is currently being done by FDCC was done under the Caribbean Child Support Initiative, so CCSI, which was a program, so with a specific time period, and it had external funding. CCSI was funded by the Bernard Van Leer Foundation. When BVLF, Bernard Van Leer, when they decided that their work in the Caribbean, that they would, you know, place their resources in other parts of the world, and that they would be withdrawing from the Caribbean.
Because the decision was taken. Because at that point, the Caribbean was no longer seen as they used to say, developing or underdeveloped. Yeah. We had reached that development stage where we could handle our own affairs.
Yeah. Yes. And they had been working here for quite a bit. They had invested quite a lot into the Caribbean. So the thinking was that the work that had been done so far couldn't just end, and that's where FDCC was born. So the program, Caribbean Child Support Initiative, was ending, but the work needed to continue. So a foundation was launched, and that was the birth of FDCC into 2012, and that's really how we came out. When CCSI was in existence, they oversaw the Roving Caregivers Program, which is our flagship program, and with them leaving, we didn't want that program to end. And just as a bit of insight for listeners or viewers who might not know, the Roving Caregivers Program, I might refer to it as RCP as we go on, is a program that caters to children between 0 to 5 whose families cannot afford to enroll them into preschool or kindergartens or any developmental program, would stimulate them and cater to their needs as they are growing. And so what the program does is to provide a caregiver who will visit the home at least once a week for an hour or two and will do stimulation exercises with the children at home. And the thinking behind that and the research behind this program supports the notion that children who are stimulated within these ages have better chances of being more productive citizens, thriving more when they get into primary school. Actually, research shows that in the Caribbean, many parents don't sing to or interact with their children. One of every three children entering primary school are entering without the skills needed to function. So to put a very practical spin on that, what we're saying then is if you have three children, one of them is going into primary school behind the rest of the class, and catching up is often very difficult. So these other children would have had the opportunity to be in preschool, at this point, know how to hold a pencil, know how to color within the lines, know how to write their names. And this child who perhaps has been at home and not stimulated, because we're not saying children can't stay at home, we're saying if they are, they still need the stimulation, that other children get in other ways. And so they start school, because in the Caribbean, primary school is generally free. And our governments have been very kind to provide that for us. But we place emphasis on what happens before then, because some children start behind and then find it difficult, to catch up later on.
Okay, and that's one of the things that the Roving Caregivers program does, to instill that early formal stimulation with the kids, and helps educate parents in the importance of that.
Yes, that's the other thing that I forgot to mention, but thank you for that. So the caregivers go to the homes and they work, yes, primarily with the children, but there's also a parenting aspect. We also encourage the parents to get involved, because if they're only there 1 or 2 hours per week, then practically speaking, that doesn't compare to the child who's in preschool, all day for 5 days. So we have to encourage the parents to continue the work that the caregiver is doing when they're in, so that when they're not there, they're still involved. And one of the things that we do that I'm very proud of is because we go to low-income families, we are not using resources that they don't have available to them. We take, soda bottles, clean them out, put seeds in them. We live in the Caribbean, I don't know what every other island calls it, but in Barbados we have what we call shack shack.
Yeah, we have
The
that in
long brown
St. Lucia too. I think it's,
and you call it shack shack too?
yes, I hope it's the same name all over the Caribbean. That would be wonderful to find out. But I'm getting the feeling that people are being proactive and very creative in what they use to stimulate the kids when they go to the homes.
That's what we encourage. So we don't want them to think, well, the caregiver has come with all these books, they don't have resources to go and get them, or they've come with toys and they don't have those resources. Take seeds, place them in a bottle, tape the bottle, put gift wrap paper on the outside of it and tape it again so that when the child is playing with it, the paper isn't coming off. And you would be amazed how intrigued the children are, from those types of toys. So it doesn't have to be anything special. It doesn't take a lot of resources. And that's one of the things that we're very proud of, that we promote homemade toys and homemade resources. We promote, parent-child interaction. Activities like having your child, let's say a 3-year-old in the kitchen with you, while you're cooking. Obviously, safety measures would have to be in place. But simple things like what is the shape of a tomato? What color is that? What color is a carrot? What color are those beans? Those are all learning experiences, practical learning experiences. And some of those things we impart to parents. You don't have to have, lots of things. There are always teachable moments for you and your children, and we really encourage them to continue that kind of interaction outside of when the caregiver can be there.
Okay, and you mentioned all of this that this particular program is doing for parents and caregivers actually going into homes, and I want to make that connection between the FDCC as a foundation, which makes you think that it's not a governmental organization, it's a private or in between kind of organization. How does the FDCC manage to do all that it does if it's a foundation?
By fundraising primarily, so that is certainly one of my roles. But we are in partnership a lot with governments, and we're pleased to report, for example, in Grenada, the RCP program there has been fully adopted by the government. But on the other hand, and what we've been pushing and supporting for it, on the other hand, the program in St. Lucia recently and the one in St. Vincent, they've been suspended because the government has been unable to, in a financial way, to continue meeting the needs. And so one of the key things that FDCC has to do, and we have to continue to do in the future, is fundraising to be able to continue to support these programs as important as they are. In Barbados, for example, where there isn't an RCP program, what we do, we facilitate training. And very recently, we had a training session with the Child Care Board here, where we train the care facilitators in learning through play. So, the importance of play and how children learn while playing.
Oh, I just felt a little bit down when you said that the programs in St. Lucia and St. Vincent are suspended, which tells me that there's a lot that needs to be done in just educating and getting citizens involved in the program and understanding the importance to more or less pool together to help one another so that we can ensure that kids between 0 and 5 get what they need so that, like you said, they can go into school to become productive citizens.
Yes, absolutely. It is very sad, and some groups have, well, one group primarily has expressed some interest in trying to support the program, and we're seeing, what can be done there. But on a large scale, one of our primary needs, I would say, is fundraising towards getting those programs reestablished and in a sustainable way too. I think I would say that that's one of our primary goals for FDCC and RCP programs throughout the Eastern Caribbean to be sustainable.
Fundraising is always such a key thing. And I want to talk about myself as a donor, somebody who learned about the FDCC through Facebook, through Dr. Didika's Jules, who is, I guess, really instrumental in a lot of the things that the FDCC is doing. And it touched me when he made that appeal for people to support the FDCC, and I've been doing that, I think, since 2012, 2013. And I feel good as a donor to be able to give something every month. And I want to thank you all for keeping me updated on how that's helping. So I'm hoping that this interview will touch people no matter where they are. And I think maybe we can say that it doesn't matter. You don't have to be in the Caribbean to help the FDCC.
No, you don't. Because one of the things that we're trying to do now is to really reach out to the diaspora. Certainly, anybody living in North America or the UK, be welcome to be supporters, to be donors. But we're really trying to form relationships with people who are of West Indian heritage. I lived overseas for a while, and I know that you suddenly become you don't really think that you're very patriotic while you live in the Caribbean. But when you leave, there's something about your heart that feels closer to home. You want to do more, you want to know more. And so we really invite Caribbean nationals, persons with Caribbean heritage living in the diaspora, to get involved. And involved doesn't always mean money. We welcome your time, we welcome your skills, in helping us ultimately to help children. That's really what we're about.
Yeah, I support you in that because I live in Chicago now, and when I came here, I saw myself as somebody living in a foreign country, but then everything that I saw around me made me appreciate where I came from even more. And when you're in it, you'll necessarily see all the potential that you have or it has until you leave it. So I make that pledge to do my best to spread the word about FDCC so that people, foreign nationals, people in the diaspora, will know about your really, really worthy organization and that we can do our part to make sure that kids 0 to 5 get the opportunity and get the access that they need so that Caribbean people can begin and continue to be productive people and wow themselves in the region and around the world.
And we're very thankful for your help and for your support and even efforts like this, that get the word about FDCC out there.
Yeah, that's what I can do on my little end, and hopefully it'll be able to keep the FDCC going, and I feel really good about it. I feel good about what you all are trying to do. And you talked about one of the goals. Are there any future goals that you want to achieve, maybe in the next year or two, for as the FDCC grows and where its outreach, where you want to take your outreach?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned, RCP and a few of the programs that have been suspended. So I think primarily our focus would be on getting them reestablished and sustainable and in a sustainable way, not just reestablished perhaps for a short period of time and then maybe funding, becomes an issue again. But we really want them to be sustainable. And beyond that, the FDCC has just welcomed a new board, Dr. Didikus Jules, who you mentioned. He has transitioned into a new job, so he's now residing in St. Lucia. And we have a new board headed by Dr. Carol Logie. She's very au fait with early childhood development, and that has been her field for quite some time. And coming out of initial discussions, we're just really looking at yes, RCP for FDCC has been a flagship program, and we will continue to support RCP. But what are some of the other resources and perhaps training and stuff like that. So some of the other things, skills that FDCC can offer. We have quite a number of resources on our websites, booklets and books that can be helpful to parents, the importance of play for infants or preschoolers, nature, just using things that exist naturally as a means of teaching or learning for the child. So in terms of going forward, definitely with a new board, a new action plan, with RCP fully being supported, but also seeing what other ways we can impact early childhood development in the Caribbean.
Okay, you mentioned the programs are in Barbados, suspended hopefully for a very short time in St. Lucia and St. Vincent. Where else are you operating?
We operate in Grenada, and I mentioned before that the government of Grenada has wholly and fully, supported the program there. We also operate in Dominica, and recently the government of Dominica made a commitment to support paying the salaries of the
Oh,
caregivers.
that's wonderful.
Yes, and we were very excited about that. Obviously, other costs are involved, so that's not, fully funded, but we're very thankful that they've seen the need to keep RCP going and to want to invest in that in Dominica. There's also RCP program in Belize, and CCSI would have been instrumental in starting that, but the government has also, adopted that and have gone full stream ahead with that. And the RCP programs that we have in Eastern Caribbean actually were piloted based on a program that started in Jamaica. And my understanding is that now, in a particular community in Jamaica, they're now, reassessing having RCP there again.
Okay, I want to just let our viewers and listeners hear how some of the parents are reacting to what the program is doing for them as a family unit, what it's doing for their kids, and maybe even their communities.
It's really touching. To be very honest with you, the most fulfillment I feel is when I'm on the ground and, going household to household and seeing what the work that I do in the office, what that results in for in a very practical way for these children and for their parents. And I think it was last Christmas we were in Dominica and we went to a family and they truthfully didn't say very much. The mother appeared to have a disability. The child was still very much a baby, and the father was there. He didn't say very much, but they were so welcoming. It was just, and we had camera crew with us. We had camera crew with us and a photographer. There were some staff members, some crew members from LIAT. So there were quite a few of us, but they welcomed us with open arms. And I was really impacted because I recognized that the child's mother being disabled meant that she could offer no stimulation to the child. She was mentally disabled, and physically there was also something wrong. And so that left a lot on the father, who obviously is also now the breadwinner for the household and can't be there all the time. And so situations like that really encouraged me that the work that FDCC is doing is worthwhile, and that we are meeting the families who most need the help. Because I think sometimes that's a concern for some people. You know, what are you doing with the money? Is it really, going to the children? It really is, and we really are, seeing a difference. If you are interested in hearing, parent testimonials for yourself, if you visit our YouTube page, we have some videos there with parents talking about their experiences. We have videos with teachers, primary school teachers, who compare children who have gone through RCP, who enter their classrooms with children who've been at home, and the difference that she sees in them. So we're not just talking, we are out there getting the work done, and we're seeing the results.
You're walking the walk, Penny. I as a donor, as somebody who's listening to that, I feel really good. What we will do is we already have a link to the FDCC on our website, and we will also add some of your videos there, so that adds, so people
Wonderful.
can hear and see for themselves what the program is achieving. Now, you also said that people
Wonderful.
can do more than just donate money. They can donate their time, but tell people what they, in terms of actually donating monies, how they can do that.
Via our website, if you go on to our website, there are facilities there where you can pay via credit card. You can make a donation there. You can also, via our website, sign up to be a volunteer. I would say, perhaps in the area of volunteerism, one of our greatest needs is likely somebody with graphic experience. Because those things tend to be very costly. So if you're listening and that's you have some free time and you'd like to donate it to a very worthy cause, we'd be very happy, to have you on board. But certainly a wide variety of skills, would be useful. So whatever your skills are, feel free to reach out to us. You can send us an email at info@fdcchildren, and we'd be more than happy to have you.
Oh my goodness, Penny, you said it all. I'm happy, I'm excited, and I hope our little interview, well, we'll do our best to make it go a long way so that it can reach and you can begin to reap the benefits of it.
Thank you so
And I want
much.
to thank you for your time. Like I said, we have a link for the FDC Children on our website at www.impractopia.com. I want to thank you again, Penny. I want to thank the FDCC for all that it's doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Well, thank you, Penny, for all of that wonderful information and sharing. Long live the FDCC. Well, now it's time to announce our first giveaway. If you go to the website www.impractopia.com, you will see that we are giving away a lovely tote for your groceries, for your books, odds and ends. It's very easy. Just click on the giveaways banner, fill out the form, and hit submit. Easy as that, and very shortly we will be announcing our first winner. And because of you, we're very happy. For you just listening and appreciating Impractopia, we want to say thank you for that. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, we will be ending with a quote, Ode to the Caribbean. And this one comes from Chris Hadfield, retired astronaut from Canada. And he says, when you're on one of the Caribbean islands, sometimes it's hard to picture how they fit in with the rest, but when you see them all joined together like a necklace from space, you see the natural geographic connectedness of them all. I couldn't agree with you more, Mr. Hadfield. Well, that's our show for today. Next week, we will have Dr. Cardinal Ward, professor at MIT and co-founder of the Caribbean Science and Technology Program. But in the meantime, please share in Practopia or through all of your social media platforms. Brag about us, share it, tell your friends that this is the show to listen to, the show that stars the Caribbean, featuring its people, places, and things. I am your humble host, Kim Zha, and I'll be right here next time in Practopia.